The fact that it is, again, two different sources also lends credibility to this. So we're going to put this right about 50% viable. There's a fair amount here that says, yeah, this might be a thing. Hello, Nerdy Legion. We have another call-out section for today's episode, so that's fun. I love calling people on their nonsense. Anyway, so that, and then we've got a boatload of follow-ups and a little bit of news to talk about, as well as some confirmations in the rumor mill, so that's also exciting. So before we do that, I just want to remind everybody, I see the analytics, guys. I know that roughly 60% of my listeners have not subscribed, so please don't forget to subscribe and check out all of the other stuff we offer over on nerdylegion.com. There's a bunch of other podcasts over there that we put a lot of work into, so go check that out. All right, so now let's hit the news. So we're just going to jump right into this episode's call out. So we're calling out Mortal Kombat. This has to do with the statements made by producer Todd Gardner. I am not calling out producer Todd Gardner, so don't get it twisted. I think that Todd Gardner made a questionable choice of words, but I don't think you should hold it against him or the entire freaking production of the movie. What the heck am I talking about? Well, Todd Gardner did an interview, and I'm going to read this. There's going to be a bit of reading because this has to do with quotes that Todd made in interviews. So I'm going to try and read a little bit more than has made it into the news recently. And depending on what news outlets you follow, kind of depends on which version of this you've heard. Either Todd Gardner is a horrible racist and he hates white people, even though he's a white person, or he's championing Asian folk and is focusing on the Asian elements of the Mortal Kombat story. Both of which are not entirely true. Todd did say some things the vocabulary lines up with the way people are talking in the social norms right now, I don't think anything what he said is negative towards white people. I also don't think anything what he said is necessarily like exalting Asian people. He's talking about a property, an IP that has a strong Asian influence because of the imagery and because of the way, I mean, honestly, whatever, we're going to get into it. So there's some stuff. So Todd Gardner did an interview with Inverse. This was the first of two interviews. So I'm going to read a lot real quick. So the quote, the interview, this is the end of the interview and it starts, "Lastly, one more problem Gardner and his team had was the unsavory idea of a white character, parentheses, like Johnny Cage, close parentheses, being the hero who saves everyone. Tan is mixed race, Chinese, British." So this is referring to the creation of Cole Young for the movie, played by Louis Tan. "In Mortal Kombat lore, Johnny Cage is a Hollywood star who enters the tournament to prove he isn't a pampered, spoiled A-lister. While Cage is rarely the capital H hero in any given Mortal Kombat game, he is always somewhere near the center, bringing levity to the two series stakes." Gardner didn't confirm the precise whereabouts of Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat. The name came up a few times during the interview, but his absence thus far suggests the filmmakers are trying something different. So there's a little bit to unpack there, but we're just going to keep going with this quote. Gardner didn't confirm. Oh, wait, we already did the part. This is the quote from Gardner. "I feel like if I was getting to make a movie with a diverse cast, it felt weird to have a white actor, literally Johnny Cage, be the hero of the story," Gardner says, adding that that these discussions took place at the start of the movie's pre-production nearly 7 years ago, quote, "way before Black Lives Matter," end quote, and other pushes for diversity across industries, including Hollywood. So there's a little bit to unpack there. And then the quote continues by saying, or the interview, the piece in inverse, I guess, continues by saying, but just because people's favorite characters aren't in Mortal Kombat doesn't mean they won't appear on screen. Quote, we don't want to disappoint the fans, Garner says. That being said, there's no possible way to make a movie where everybody gets what they want, which is a very good way to make a movie. You have to understand you're going to be upsetting people. Anyway, the article continues, but perhaps that's something that can change in the future. Should the film land with authority, paving the way for a Mortal Kombat universe? And before you start joking about Sonya Vision, just know Gardner is one step ahead. Quote, I would make WandaVision for Liu Kang and Kung Lao, he says. I would do a Stryker movie, I would do a Sonya and Jax movie, and make it like Black Hawk Down. I'm not trying to fight fans. There's legitimate reasons for everything we did. Okay, so at the top of this, where they said that Johnny Cage is rarely capital H hero in any given Mortal Kombat game, that's not entirely true. In Mortal Kombat X... No, Mortal Kombat 9, rather, he is literally capital H hero. So that is kind of what it is up until Mortal Kombat 9. So you have 8 games, not including side games, that focus on the fact that Liu Kang is the hero of the story. Every game up until 9, and even 2/3 of Mortal Kombat 9, have Liu Kang as the central protagonist, as the only main protagonist. Everybody else is kind of second fiddle, including Raiden to a large extent. So, like, yes and no, like, Johnny Cage becomes the champion of the Elder Gods, but he's never, they are correct in that he's never been the focus of the story. He's always been the levity point of the story until he becomes a little bit serious towards the beginning of X and throughout the story of X and 11. But that's 2 out of 11 games that have any kind of exceptional focus on this character. So yes, they are correct in that he's not usually the focus, but he is very literally the champion of the Elder Gods because he is the one who wins the tournament or defeats Shao Kahn, as according to the story at the end. So there's the one thing. The next thing is that the quote from Gardner, from Todd Gardner, is that, oh, it felt like we were getting to make a movie with a diverse cast. It felt very weird to have a white actor, literally Johnny Cage, be the hero of the story. So the fact that he doesn't understand where Johnny Cage fits in the lore has me a little bit worried, not gonna lie. But he's also not the director. He's also not the writer, the screenwriter. So, like, I don't expect a suit to understand the intricacies of Mortal Kombat lore. So there's that. But the thing that really gives me hope is the last quote says that there's legitimate reasons why we did everything. Because they literally sat down and planned this all out. I understand and I'm totally can get behind the idea of Cole Young being the entry point for people who are not mega fans for the series. That totally makes sense. I don't see anything in here. Yes, he does call out the fact that Johnny Cage is white. And yes, he probably could have used better vocabulary. Does that mean Johnny Cage was pulled from the story because he was white? No. So who am I calling out with this? Well, I'm calling out OAN because they're the ones that are kind of fueling this fire. OAN, if you don't know, is like if Fox News was even more conservative. So there you go. So I'm calling out OAN. I'm calling out The Quartering. I'm calling out Bounding Into Comics. Like, that is not what this guy said. Very literally, at the end of this, the very last bits of this are him talking about all of the other things he wants to do with this property. He wants to do something that focuses on Sonya. He wants to do something that focuses... And then we're going to get into the next interview where he says very seriously that he wants to make Johnny Cage a big part of the story. It just didn't work with this first movie because the first movie, you have to... Who's bigger in Mortal Kombat? I'm going to rephrase the question. Who's bigger in Mortal Kombat? Scorpion and Sub-Zero or Johnny Cage? And from all accounts, everything that we're seeing, Scorpion and Sub-Zero are by and large, if not the main, then very close to the main focus of this first movie. So if you have an hour and a half that you have to tell a story and you have to focus on one of the most rich video game backstories for a character in a fighting game ever, namely Scorpion and Sub-Zero, Johnny Cage isn't going to fit in there. And if you already, and it looks like what they're using Kano for is some of that levity. So they have to have Kano have his heel turn effectively. And then they can introduce Johnny Cage to be on the good guys team once we know that Kano really is a bad guy in this universe. So there's a lot there. All right. So the next interview that we have to read, or the next piece is from comicbook.com, and a bunch of other places were at this press event, but comicbook.com seems to be the one that more people are quoting, even vicariously. Like the Bounding Into Comics piece that they wrote about this was quoting a different news outlet, but that when I went to that source was quoting comicbook.com. So I went to the source of the source. So on comicbook.com, Gardner said this: "I want to make a sequel, and I've now got Johnny Cage, which hasn't been used in the first one." So the vocabulary here is a little broken. Gardner said during a recent press event attended by comicbook.com. "So I have a big stick and a carrot, and maybe they'll let me have a Johnny Cage real presence in the second one." Again, vocabulary is really weird in this. "And secondarily, when you think about Mortal Kombat, you just think of the patina of the movie. It has a very Asian feel to it, and I early on felt uncomfortable having a white male lead kind of lead the charge in the first movie. Again, the fact that he doesn't understand where Johnny Cage lies in the lore is a little concerning, but only slightly. "It just felt Hollywoodish to me, which is weird because he's an actor, which is also weird." Johnny Cage is an actor, which is also weird. I'm clarifying, that's not in the quote. "And probably my bias of ... It just feels weird if I'm trying to do, and I was, do something different and diverse and true. Is it a cop-out to all of a sudden have Ryan Reynolds, not him, but as the lead felt a little disingenuous to me and super easy to bring him in a big, bombastic, fun way in the second one?" This quote seems broken, and I've tried to make heads or tails of it as I was writing it out and stuff, but we'll kind of unpack it a little bit. "And he deserves that as a character, and I love these characters, so we thought hard about it." So again, he's saying he wants to do something huge with Johnny Cage. You only have so much time in a movie. Yes, I understand. Johnny was in the first game. There's a lot of lore that is now surrounding that roughly time frame in the game lore, as well as before that time frame in the game lore, and then immediately after that time frame in the game lore. So my guess, my assumption is that while we are going to see the tournament, I feel like there's going to be a different way they attack the character of Johnny Cage. Now, I don't feel like this is necessarily tied directly to the fact that he's white. Now, the people that are trying to call racism against white people are going to start throwing at me, well, the Twitter conversations that Todd Gardner's having with fans kind of implies that it is because he was white and kind of implies X, Y, and Z. Well, I don't see that either. There was a very specific point in time where Gardner said, the reason I used the vocabulary, I mean, I'm paraphrasing this because I didn't write this down or save it or whatever. The reason that I used the vocabulary I did in those interviews is because we had focus groups, and those focus groups tended to react more positively when I used said vocabulary. So it's not because I think that it's bad to be white. I just simply said what I said because that is the vocabulary, the vernacular of the time. So misguided, sure, those focus groups probably were not very well diversified when they were bringing people in for them. This is very much what it sounds like. But again, not racist. He's not apologizing for white people. He's not saying white people are bad. He's just saying Johnny Cage's story did not fit in this first movie. He wants to do all of the things with all of the characters. You can't do that in an hour and a half movie. I mean, Scott Snyder could, or Zack Snyder rather, couldn't do that in a 4-hour movie for his version of Justice League. That's gotta tell you something. Oh, okay, so I'm calling you out, Quartering, and I'm calling you out, OAN. You guys are, and Bounding into Comics, you guys, like, I maybe not OAN so much, but, like, Quartering and Bounding into Comics, I agree with you guys on a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. This is disingenuous. This is trying to stoke flames that aren't there yet. You've got smoke, now let's make a fire, right? TV streaming, baby! All right, so all of the craziness out of the way. Let's talk actual news. TV streaming, we've got a couple of follow-ups to hit first. First and foremost in the follow-up section is Cowboy Bebop. Production has wrapped on season one for Cowboy Bebop, so now they're into post-production, so we are that much closer to seeing Cowboy Bebop on Netflix. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we have a really interesting potential thing here. I didn't know exactly where to put this because it started off as a rumor, and then like people noticed these things in the leaked set footage, or leaked set images, but Feige now has gotten in on it, it would seem too, saying that there's going to be a set piece that really shocks and surprises fans that we've seen in some of the promotional material. We have seen the Madripoor flag in some of the promotional materials, so are we going to see Madripoor at some point in Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Seems that is almost 100% confirmed by Feige, which is why it's in the news section and not the rumor section. Our next piece of follow-up has to do with Resident Alien. Again, a renewal announcement. Resident Alien has been renewed for a second season over on Sci-Fi. Congratulations, Alan Tudyk. It's such a wonderful show if you haven't watched it. I should have put that in my recommendations video two episodes ago as well. So, yeah, there you go. That's all we got for follow-ups. Here is the news. We have a new announcement of a new Adult Swim animated series. Actually, it's going to be a spin-off series called Bird Girl, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law spin-off series. It is going to be airing its first episode on April 4th on Adult Swim. So there you go. No time. I couldn't find a time, but check your local listings. You know the way it goes. Our next two pieces kind of play together because they're both Star Wars pieces. The first has to do with the atrocious holiday special. So the one good part about the holiday special was the introduction of the character of Boba Fett before he was in the movies through an animated short that was called, it's in my notes, where did it go? The Story of the Faithful Wookiee. That animated short is finding its way over onto Disney Plus this April, April 2nd specifically. As well as, and kind of similarly related, but they weren't part of the holiday special, but also almost as bad, is the two Ewok movies, Caravan of Courage and The Battle for Endor. All are going to be finding their way onto PlayStation, or onto Disney Plus. Wow, words. Disney Plus on April 2nd. So then the next Star Wars piece that we're talking about also is finding its way onto the Disney Plus platform on April 2nd. And that is the Clone Wars. Wait a minute. The Clone Wars is already on Disney Plus. What are you talking about? This is a series. Yes, I know. The series is already on Disney Plus. What the heck? This is Genndy Tartakovsky's series, the animated, not 3D, not CG animated, the hand-drawn animation, hand-drawn probably on a computer, but still hand-drawn animation version of the Clone Wars. This is no longer considered canon now that Disney owns it, but this is such an awesome part of Star Wars history. Genndy Tarkovsky, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing his name right, but I think that's how you would say that. The guy who gave us Samurai Jack also did a series of freaking Star Wars. Give it to me and give it to me twice because that's amazing. If you haven't seen it, your chance is coming very, very soon unless, you know, you have other means of watching it. You have a friend who has the DVDs from forever ago or somebody pirated it. Naughty, naughty. Either way, that's what we have for TV streaming, nerds. So, movies, we have a bunch more follow-ups. Like I said, this is going to be a very follow-up heavy episode. So, follow-up first in movies is theaters. LA movie theaters opened up last week and were sold out because they're only open for 25%. But everyone was doing what they could to get out of the house and go see an actual movie in the theater. I love it. It's a great sign. No reports of any sickness or anyone being negatively affected by going out in public in such a manner. So, yes, let's keep this momentum rolling. Our next piece of follow-up has to do with The Batman. They have wrapped on primary production, so now they're into post-production for the movie, so we are that much closer on seeing Matt Reeves' movie for The Batman. Sonic 2, also a production note, this one is beginning production, so they're going into filming as of yesterday, which is also pretty freaking awesome. Peter Pan and Wendy is another movie that we've been keeping kind of tabs on. That also has gone into production finally. This is the live action version of the story. Disney again. And then Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, another production announcement. We're going into production on the live action Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. And then Venom 2 has moved its release date from, I don't remember what it was from, honestly, because it's been so long since we've had anything solid here. But the new release date is September 17th, 2021. So the reason we went through all of those production announcements is because it's awesome. Movement going forward, putting all of the nastiness of 2020 behind us and getting to content and beautiful things. All right, so news for movies. We have the first is Batman Dying is Easy, a new movie that is available exclusively on YouTube, made by the guys over at Bat in the Sun. Fantastic. Considering a lot of things, like it's a short, I think it's like 12 minutes long, so it's not a long movie. It's definitely worth a watch, though. Adam Shankey, I think is how you say his name, the guy who wrote and produced and directed and acted as the Joker and just in a lot of productions over on Bat in the Sun, did a fantastic job. Really got some interesting casting in here, just to name a couple. We have Michael Madsen in there, we have Chris Daughtry, we have Doug freaking Jones, and we have Casper Van Dien as the commissioner, as Commissioner Gordon. Casper Van Dien is commissioner, what? Johnny Cage as Commissioner Gordon, freaking the dude from Starship Troopers? Yeah, that guy, Commissioner Gordon. It's worth a watch. Go look for it. Dying is Easy. It's definitely worth a watch. It's especially since it's so relatively short. But our next and final piece for movies has to do with a very unique superhero named Our Man. DC's Our Man is apparently the next to get the movie treatment. What? So Our Man, the script is being penned right now by Gavin Games and Neil Widener, who previously worked on San Andreas and Hot Wheels, so not like they have the best credentials, especially in the nerd community, but like, that's a very interesting superhero choice. Our Man? So if you don't know who Our Man is, I'll give you the TLDR. He's a superhero who only has superpowers after he does a thing for a single hour. So I think he has to take a pill or some sort of potion or something, and then he gains superpowers for an hour. There have been a number of different people who have held the moniker of Our Man, but they're all kind of related in some way. He's been around since like the 50s. It's just a weird kind of obscure superhero, and I'm very intrigued what's going to happen there. That is all we have for movie section though, guys. Okay, Rumor Mill, let's do this, and then we gotta get out of here and edit this bad boy. So Rumor Mill, we have a confirmation, kind of, for the Snyder Cut. So the Justice League Snyder Cut has released, and now we're starting to get interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff with people. Zack Snyder has confirmed that Ryan Reynolds, in fact, was on the table as an option at one point for a Green Lantern cameo. So we almost did get Hal Jordan. So that is a confirmation of a number of rumors surrounding that information. So there you go, Rumor Mill. You got one, kind of, a little. It didn't actually end up happening because it sounded like scheduling things and, like, probably money things that they didn't want to talk about. If you read between the lines, it kind of assumes that much. But, yeah, interesting. Moving on. We're talking next about Hunger Games. Apparently, there is a potential for a new Hunger Games movie. it sounds like it is all hinging on the involvement of Jennifer Lawrence. This comes from a huge leaker, comes from a huge quote-unquote insider, but he's the only one who's saying this. Nobody else can confirm it. Nobody else's sources are giving similar information, so we can't really go any further than that. The viability for this rumor is pretty low because, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence. So we'll put it about 30%, and I feel like that's being a little generous. Next, we're talking about Deadpool 3. Robert Rodriguez is rumored to be directing Deadpool 3. I feel like if you're going to ditch the original writing staff and bring in the Molyneux sisters, I believe, who are relatively untried. I mean, Bob's Burgers is good, but I don't know if it's good enough for Deadpool. But anyway, so if you're going to do a questionable thing like that, then bringing in a nerd icon like Robert Rodriguez, yeah, it's a good way to salvage that. Again, this comes from a single source, and it's not even as good as the previous source, so I can't go super high with this. We're going to say about 20%. Even though I want this, I think this would be an amazing thing. And if you consider the fact that Robert Rodriguez has been brought in to do the Book of Boba Fett, he's the showrunner there. This is also a Disney-owned property, so like there's a relationship there, but he's doing the Book of Boba Fett, so probably not going to be doing Deadpool 3. 20% just seems pretty generous. Next, we're talking about a Dr. Evil movie. The Austin Powers character Dr. Evil is reportedly getting a movie. This will be the fourth movie. This comes from two different sources. One source is saying it's just going to be a spinoff that Mike Myers is doing. And the other source is saying that, well, Mike Myers actually back in the day said he wanted to make this movie as a telling of the same story from the perspective of Dr. Evil. So it could be one, it could be the other. We have a fair reason to believe that Mike Myers is working on some sort of Austin Powers something, so that kind of lends to this credibility. The fact that it is, again, two different sources also lends credibility to this, so we're going to put this right about 50% viable. There's a fair amount here that says, yeah, this might be a thing. Next, we're talking about the Fantastic Four. This one is technically rumor based on rumor, so we already know where it caps. So rumor based on rumor has to do with Emily Blunt is reportedly passed on the casting choice for Invisible Woman, and that's why we've been hearing those other rumors that say Jennifer Lawrence might be playing Sue Storm, Invisible Woman. Again, this is rumor based on rumor. The first rumor is that Emily Blunt was being considered at all. The second rumor is that Emily Blunt then turned it down. So we can't go above 50. The inclusion of Jennifer Lawrence around this, again, kind of is a weird thing. I just don't believe that. This is a gut feeling. I can't really describe it as anything else. So we're going to put this probably right about 20% as well. There's a little bit there, but not a whole lot. Our next piece has to do with Smallville on the CW. Apparently, there's rumor that says that they're doing a revival series of Smallville on the CW. Not a reboot, so they're not getting a new cast. It's a revival, so they're going to try and get Tom Welling to come back as Clark. Again, after it was a struggle to get him to come back for the 30 seconds he was on screen for the crisis. There's so much not accurate about I am so confident that this is not a thing. I'm going to say 0% likelihood that this will ever be a thing, will ever happen, ever, unless it's animated, and we've covered that. That was months ago, though. That's the only feasible way you can get Tom Welling to come back as Clark Kent, and that is to do an animated series. This is for a live-action revival of the longest-running superhero series on television, so that's got a good thing for it, but a 0% chance that they're reviving it. Nope, not gonna happen. And then our final piece has to do with Batwoman, also on CW. This is being reported by some news outlets as actual news. If somebody is telling you that this is going to happen without doubt, 100% accurately, then they are lying to you because it is a rumor. All right, so the rumor is that season 3 will be the final season of the series for Batwoman, but not the final season for the Batwoman character. So Javicia Leslie's Ryan Wilder will be returning to the Arrowverse, which I don't know why we're calling it the Arrowverse still. I like Berlantiverse. That's what I have written in my notes. So I'm just going to, from here on out, call it the Berlantiverse. So the Berlantiverse will not see the end of Javicia Leslie's Batwoman as of the end of this series, but there's no attachment onto this rumor as to where she's going to go. Is she going to be in the Legends of Tomorrow? Is she going to join up with Superman and Lois, which isn't going to happen for another year? There's a lot of weird about this. Yes, I do understand that Batwoman has the lowest ratings ever on CW. I feel like it's only a matter of time before it does get canceled. So the cancellation part of this, we're going to split this in half. Cancellation part of this rumor, yeah, I'll put that at about 80%. I don't know if season 3 is going to be the last season, but I would be very surprised if it goes beyond season 4. I'll be honestly a little shocked if they get a season 4 renewal, not going to lie. But season 3, we already know, is in the bag. So they are going to at least do that. The second half of this is Javicia Leslie coming back in a different show as Batwoman, maybe as cameos, just like probably Melissa Ben Yost is very likely going to come back as Supergirl in cameos once Supergirl has ended. But as far as like as a series regular on anything, yeah, it's not super likely. I want to go about 50% on that because we do like Javicia Leslie. Javicia Leslie does well. It's the writing and the direction that has issues. I don't think I can go that high, though. I think I can, if I'm being honest with you, the highest I can go is about 35% validity to this rumor. And that is the end of the rumor section, guys. That does it for this episode of Headlines Nerds. For more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, like I said at the beginning of the show, jump over to nerdylegion.com, check out all of the podcasts we offer on the subject there. Or if you want to go deeper into the nerd news, you want to join me for more nerdy stuff, then join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thank you for listening, nerds, and we'll see you next time.